Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 53, page 1062. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Bart Erlbach. I'm minister here. And boys and girls, would you like to come down to the front? You're going to want to come down to the front. So there's a bit of space down here. So if you want to come and gather here so that you can see a bit more clearly what's happening, then that would be fine. That's it. Do have a seat on the floor if you want. That's it. Great, well done. Daniel, are you able just to move in a bit just so that there are a few more coming from behind you there? Otherwise, we'll back up down the aisleway there. Ah, forgot to say, you're going to need a Bible. Should have said that before, shouldn't I? You're going to need a Bible. Rob, if you're able to grab a few, thank you. Well done. Ah, you guys in the middle, you've obviously learnt it all off by heart. Well done. Yeah, brilliant. Thank you, Rob. Yeah, just a few scattered over. Elliot, you go for it. That's it. Pass them around. Pass them around. Girls at the back there, you grab one. Rob, are you happy to one to Freya there? And Ionia, that's great. Thank you very much. Now, you're going to need to look at, turn to Luke chapter 24. So page 1062, adults as well. You're going to need to turn there too, please. It's a message coming through, but the message is coming through in your Bible. So Luke 24, page 1062. Great. And just for the moment, just pop that down in front of you. Keep the place. That's it. Now we're going to pray. We're going to ask for God's help as we look at his word. Father, please would you teach us now. Help us to know what your great plan for your church is and help us to live it out. Amen. Well, now we're going to be thinking this morning about what is God's great plan for Emmanuel Church. And we're going to be thinking about that not just now, but in our forward focus after the service. So if you're new or visiting, this Sunday, this is our kind of annual church meeting, but we're spreading it through the service and then after the service through a lunch as well. So we're going to think in this bit about what the Bible says about what's God's plan for us as Emmanuel Church. Now, we've got to the end of Luke's Gospel, and in this bit, Jesus has appeared to his closest followers, to the disciples, and he is telling them what his great plan for them is. And we're going to find out through that, therefore, what God's great plan for us is. I wonder what that was. What was that? Did you? Oh, no, someone sounds like they're upset. I wonder who's upset. Oh, no. Boys and girls, if you've not met her before, this is my friend Jemima. She was here, do you remember? She was here at holiday. Oh, no, she looks really upset. Jemima. Hi, Jemima.
I am upset.
What? Oh, Jemima. Oh, that's right. Should we have an R for Jemima? Oh, Jemima, you're upset. Why are you upset, Jemima? That's it. Dry your eyes and your nose. Lovely.
That's better.
Is it? Oh, good. I'm glad that's better. What's up, Jemima?
Well, you see, I was making this toy down there.
This one here?
Yeah, my Lego toy.
Okay, yeah.
But it's just not right.
It's not right?
No.
Well, it looks very good. What you've done there is very good, Jemima.
But it's not how it should be.
Is it not? Well, let me just have a little look. Well, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. See, it's not right.
Okay. Well, all right. What do you do when you boys and girls? Hang on, Jemima. Let me just ask the boys and girls something. Boys and girls, when you're doing Lego, what do you need in order to put it? What do you need?
Instructions.
Jemima, did you follow the instructions?
Well, of course I followed the instructions. I followed them carefully in everything.
You really followed them carefully as you went through?
Yeah, look, I've got them here.
Oh, you got them? Okay, well, can you get them for me? Ah!
There you go.
These are the instructions. And then the ride instructions, there you go. And you followed them?
All of them.
Really? Jemima, they're a bit sticky.
Well, I was eating some marshmallows.
You were eating marshmallows when you made it?
I love marshmallows.
Marshmallows are very good, aren't they? But Jemima, it does mean that the whole thing is a bit sticky.
That's not the point. The point is, it doesn't look very good.
Well, it's starting to look good, but the thing is, I think maybe, Jemima, look, the last few pages, they've all completely stuck together. I think you only got this far. Did you only get that far?
Well, yeah, that was the end of the book.
No, it's not the end of the book. Look, it goes on. Look, there's more here. Look, if you can unstick them. Look, there's more. There's more here, Jemima.
Oh, well, I didn't see those.
If you'd followed all the instructions, if you hadn't stuck them together with marshmallows, you'd be able to finish your Lego.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
I tell you what, I'll put these here over with your Lego. Then next time you can follow them right way through and don't get more marshmallows.
I can finish it later.
You can finish it later on. That's a great idea. You know what? That reminds me of something that we saw in the Bible passage that we were looking at just now.
Really?
Yes. Yeah,
that's convenient.
It is convenient, isn't it? Who'd have thought, Jemima?
Who'd have thought, eh?
Yeah. Now, I wonder, in that Bible passage, it tells us God's three-part plan.
Three parts?
Three parts to the plan for his church.
Well, what are they?
Well, I was thinking maybe we could see if the boys and girls could find out what it is. Shall we ask the boys and girls to help us?
Yeah, okay. Can you do that?
We'll ask the boys and girls. Okay, boys and girls, could you make sure you've got Luke chapter 24 in front of you? And there's a three-part plan that God's got, and you need to look at verse 46 for the first bit. Now, the first part of God's plan involves Jesus. So what's the very first thing it says? And this is the plan that God had, by the way, throughout the Old Testament. It's saying throughout the Old Testament, this was God's plan. He put it in the Old Testament, and there are three parts to it. And now Jesus tells us what they are. What's the first part? And it involves Jesus. Okay, anyone willing to say? Hands up if you can spot it. What's the first thing? Okay, Sam, go for it. I can reach. We're on the handheld as well, by the way. Yeah, go for it, Sam. Have you got it? Something that would happen to Jesus that he would...
rise from the dead.
Oh, now you've jumped to a bit of the plan, but that's great that you've spotted that. We'll come back to that in a moment. Ollie.
He would die.
That he would die, that he would suffer. Do you see that? So the first part is that Jesus would suffer. So Jemima, first part of the plan is that Jesus would suffer. Do you remember in the Bible where that would have happened?
Well, yeah. When Jesus died on the cross, he had to suffer. Well, so that's the first part of the plan.
Yeah, so first part of the plan. Has God finished the first part of his plan, Jemima?
Yep.
Yeah, he has. God's finished that first part of the plan. Second part of the plan. Now, let's see if we can... What was the second part of the plan? Sam's already spotted it. Can someone else spot it as well? What's the second part of God's plan? We know you've got it, Sam. Yeah, go on then.
Rise from the dead.
Yeah, that Jesus would rise from the dead. Now, Jemima, do you remember where in the Bible that happens?
Well, yeah, that's after he dies. And, well, we've just had Easter, where we remembered that Jesus rose from the dead.
That's right. So, Jesus, the second part of God's plan, is that completed, Jemima?
Yep, so that's his plan complete. Well done, everything's finished.
Well, no, it's not quite complete. You see, it's a bit like with your Lego instructions. We've got to remember that there are three parts to God's plan, not just two. Three parts that God promised from the Old Testament. So you're going to need to look, boys and girls, to see what the third part of God's plan is. And you're going to need to look in verse 47. You're going to have careful eyes to see what the next part of God's plan is. So what is the next part of God's plan? So Jesus would suffer, Jesus would rise. What's the next part? Aaron, have you got it?
It's repentance and forgiveness of sins.
Yes, will be what?
Preached.
Preached, absolutely. Thank you very much, Aaron. We'll come back to that bit before. But Jemima, the third part of God's plan is preaching.
So there's three parts.
There's three parts to God's plan.
Hang on, what does preach mean?
Well, preach means, it means to announce. It means to proclaim, to sort of, yeah, to announce to people.
Oh, I'm really good at that.
You're really good at announcing,
yeah.
Are you?
I've got a really loud voice.
Have you?
No,
you see, the thing is...
That was loud.
It was loud. You know,
Wait, I can be louder.
Can you be louder?
Yeah.
Okay,
boys and girls.
I'm looking forward to this.
You might want to put your fingers in your ears.
Put your fingers in your ears.
Ready?
Yeah, okay, ready. We're ready for you. What do you think? Was that really loud? No,
they
think you were quieter, Jemima.
No.
Oh, well, there you go. You see, the thing is, actually, Jemima, you'd have to have a really, really, really loud voice.
Why is that?
Why is that? Boys and girls, who are we to preach to? Who's to be preached to? Have a look in the verse. In the verses, verse 47, what does it say about who's got to be preached to? Have a look, let's have someone who hasn't answered yet. What does it say about who it's to be preached to, Sam? You've already answered, which is great, thank you. Daniel, yeah, go for it. Into that one.
To all nations.
To all nations. Jemima, you've got to announce to all nations. How loud a voice have you got to have for that?
Okay, hang on.
Really? No, you see, even that wasn't loud enough, was it? And actually, the point is, it's not that it's one person who's going to announce to the whole of the world, but rather that this is the plan, God's plan for the church. This is the plan for us, that we would preach, that we would announce to the world. And we need everyone involved. So God's three-part plan, has he done it? So first part is that Jesus would suffer. Done it, Jemima?
Check.
Okay. Second part of God's plan, that Jesus would rise. Has he done it?
Check.
Done. Third part of God's plan, that the good news would be preached, proclaimed to all nations. Has that been done?
Not check.
Not yet. And that's God's big plan for
the
church.
But hang on.
Yes.
Well, we've got to announce something.
Yes.
But what are we to announce?
Ah, well, now I'm glad you asked that, Jemima, because we're going to have a look at that in just a few moments about what we've got to announce. But for the moment, I think we should say a big thank you to Jemima, and we should say goodbye to Jemima as well. So should we give her a round of applause?
Bye,
and should we say
goodbye,
Jemima?
Bye!
Bye! Bye-bye, Jemima. Off you go. Brilliant. Thank you, Jemima. Now, we've seen God has a three-part plan that we get in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47. And do you remember, because here they come up on the screen. First part was what? That Jesus would die. Thank you. So, we've got a little title slide there. God's great plan for Emmanuel. The plan. Jesus suffered. That's the word it uses. But yes, talking about Jesus dying, isn't it? Second, Jesus rose. And then the third part was? Preach, that's right. We preach. And it's interesting in those verses that it says that this was God's plan all along. So it's not just Jesus suffering and rising that's in the Old Testament, but actually those verses are saying us preaching is in there as well. It's always been God's plan. But what are we to preach? Now, first thing is that. Problem is, it's got a bit mixed up. Now, we've already kind of heard the answer, but could you have a look in the verse and see what that word should be? That's an anagram of what it should be. Have a little look. Carefully look in the verse. See what it should be. So what should it be? What's the first thing that it says in the verse? Verse 47. What are we to preach? Grown-ups, have you found it? You've spotted the anagram? Let's have a grown-up answer. Hesse, go on then. What's your
repentance.
Repentance. Thank you very much. So repentance. Now, we've already heard Melissa's kind of said what repentance is, but repentance is a big thing. Literally, repentance means turning around. So if you remember in the past, we've done this where maybe we've done it as if you're marching in one direction, and then you stop and you turn around and you go in the opposite direction. Repentance is a big change. And this is saying the message that we've got to proclaim to everyone is repentance. We need to turn around. We need a big change. It's a bit like there's a difference that's a bit like the difference between this. Have any of you ever had builders come into your house to make changes to the house? Hopefully your parents have known about it beforehand. But have you ever had builders come in to do work on your house? Yeah, some of you have. Grown-ups had that, builders coming in. Well, I know that there's some people who, actually that's starting just now. And it's a big upheaval. And it's a big upheaval, but what you're hoping is that they will come in and they will change the house that you're already in and make it better. And so maybe you get someone like this, you get a builder come along. Hopefully your house is a bit bigger than that in scale, or your architect is a lot smaller. But they come along and they have a look at your house and they go, right, okay, we'll change this, that and the other. And then they get builders in and they come and do that. And some people think becoming a Christian is a bit like that. It just changes your life a bit. It just asks God to come in and just improve your life a bit. But actually, repentance is saying it's not like that. It's more like when you move house. How many here have moved house? Have you moved house? Do you remember moving house? Grown-ups, you moved house? Yeah, most of us have moved house. How many here have moved to a completely different country? Hands up if you moved to a completely different country. Yeah, some have. Yeah, and some have come back, which is great. But some have moved country. That's a big deal. When you move, you kind of have to put loads of things in boxes, don't you? You get boxes and boxes and boxes. And sometimes the removal men come in and they put loads of things in boxes. And you end up with just loads and loads and loads of cardboard boxes full of stuff. And you've got to get it all. And they load it all into a van and they take it all to a different place. And then you set up home in that new place. But when you set up home in that new place, everything is different, isn't it? And especially if you've moved country, absolutely everything is different. Maybe the money's different. Maybe where you go to shop, that's going to be different. The streets you live in, the way it feels, the time may be different if you've moved country. Everything is different. Now, repentance is saying when you become a Christian, it's a big change. The Bible talks about us moving, God moving us from the dominion of darkness to the kingdom of his Son. So he's saying there is a big move. You move from a kingdom of darkness. Imagine that, living in a place where it's just dark all the time. That's where everyone is without Jesus. But God, when you become a Christian, he says, no, you move. You move. It's like you move house. You don't actually move house. You don't have to move house to become a Christian. But it's like you've moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his Son. And so it all changes. Your life changes. It's not just changing a little bit of your life or tagging Jesus onto your life. It is a big change, the Bible says. That's what repentance is. And so as you come to the end of Luke's Gospel, and this is our last sermon in Luke's Gospel as we've been working our way through, it's taken 2.5 years, but as you get to the end of it, you go, okay, now the message is that we've got to take a message out to the world to say, actually, we need to repent. We need to stop living for ourselves, stop living in the dominion of darkness, and start living for Jesus, with him as king of your life. But that's not the only thing, is it? What's the other thing? So we've got repentance. What's the other thing? Ah, it's in anagram form again. Okay, what does it say in the verse? Some of you have got it straight away. I like when you get a little hiss. It's... Thank you for that. It's not hissing, booing and hissing. We're not in pantomime mode. It's not that. Let's go for it. Daniel, do you want to just shout it out? Thank you very much. Forgiveness of sins. So forgiveness of sins. Now, one of the things that you may have to pack with you when you go on holiday, not on holiday, when you move house, one of the things they might pack up, and you need to grab these things fairly quickly, is, of course, and maybe you even want to take these in your car with you to make sure they're safe. You've got your towel, and you've got to have your rubber duck. You've got to have them with you for when you have a bath, when you move house, when you go into your new place. I wonder how many of you have... When was the last time you had a bath? Okay, who's had a bath or a shower this morning? Yeah, I came over some of you. Well done, very nice and clean. But the thing is, you missed a bit. However well you cleaned yourself, you missed a bit. Sorry, I didn't even look at the adults. Not many hands went up there. A little bit worried about the cleanliness of the Emmanuel congregation. But the thing is, you missed a bit. However much, have you ever had this where you've played loads of sport, or maybe you've been outside and you get muddy, and then you're told, your parents tell you, you've got to go and have a bath, you've got to go and have a shower, you're caked in mud. And then you come out and you go downstairs and they say, did you actually have a bath? Did you actually have a shower? Because you've still got it all over you. The thing is, actually, there's something that you can never get rid of in the shower. However good your shower is, however good your shampoo is, however good your soap is. And the thing that you can never get rid of is sin. The thing that you can never get rid of is your sin. Because no washing machine, no washing powder, no soap, no nothing like that. Now, however hard you scrub, you can't get rid of your own sin. But the good news is, Jesus can get rid of it for you. Because he died on the cross, because he suffered, and because he rose, he can get rid of your sin completely. The thing is, there are some people who then feel like, well, maybe I'm still covered in my sin. It's still on me. Grown-ups, maybe some of you can relate to this. And maybe some children can as well. Where even though you know Jesus died for you, you still feel like it's still on you. But Jesus says, no, my blood washes you completely clean. It is completely gone. God tells us he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. That's how far he removes our sin from us. And these things are great things. These two things that we are to proclaim. Repentance, which means a big change. It's a big turning around. It's saying, I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm going to live with Jesus as king. And forgiveness of sins, saying all your sin is dealt with. And Jesus is the only one who could do it. The only person in history who can get rid of your sin, and my sin, is Jesus. Now, a little question for you. Have you actually accepted Jesus doing this for you? Have you accepted Jesus' forgiveness? And have you repented? Have you turned around? Boys and girls, those pathfinders, vision age, slightly older maybe, have we actually done this? Have we repented, turned around, said, Jesus, I need to live with you as Lord? Because we can get comfortable sometimes, can't we, of not having actually made that decision, not having actually committed our lives to Jesus. We just kind of get comfortable with living day by day without having actually done it. Today would be a great day to do it, actually to turn to God on your own, maybe here, maybe at home, and actually pray to God, God, I'm going to repent. I need to repent. Please would Jesus be Lord of my life. And please would you forgive my sins. So that's what we've got to preach. You already know the answer to the next question. To whom do we preach? What did it say? To whom do we preach? All? Oh, let's give that another go with a little bit more conviction. All?
Nations.
Thank you. To all nations. In other words, to everyone. What did he say to do? Who are we going to go for? Go on then, Ella, we go again.
Stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high.
That's it. Stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. And what Jesus is promising there is the Holy Spirit, who we see in Acts, comes on the disciples so that they can go and proclaim. See, it's a bit like, I wonder whether any grown-ups have had this. I'm sure children have. You get to your birthday and you unwrap a present. And it's fantastic, and you like the look of it, and you think, "Wow, that's going to be awesome, this is going to be great. I'm going to play that." And then you go to switch it on, and then you go, doesn't seem to work. What do you need? What do you forget when you do this? Parents, what do you forget? Batteries. And then you have a bad time when you're trying to dig out batteries or taking them out of remote controls to put in the toy. So that it'll work. The thing is, Jesus was saying to his disciples, don't go yet. You need power. And the power is the Spirit. Cara was right to tell me earlier, it should say, who do we need so we can preach? It is the Spirit. We need God's Spirit in us. And the thing is, if you're a Christian, you've got God's Spirit in you. And the Spirit is the power of God that we need to go and take this message to others. You may feel really nervous about this. What am I going to say? How am I going to say it? We pray to God. We say, God, please help me. I need to take this message to those around me. We as a church need to take this message to those around us. And so we need to pray, to ask God to help us by his Spirit to take this message out. And therefore, I'm going to pray for us just now. You might be thinking, okay, how are we actually going to go about doing this? That's where you need to stick around for the Forward Focus lunch. And there is more that we will say about that as we go through that lunch. But I'm just going to pray for us now, for God's Spirit to help us. Heavenly Father, please would you help us. We need your Spirit to work in us and through us, that we would all play our part, use the gifts that you have given to us to take the message of Jesus to those who don't yet know him. To take the message of repentance and forgiveness of sins to those in our classes, in our schools, in our workplace, in our family. Father, please would you help us with the plan that you've got for us, because we need your help. Amen.